Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, we are going to be talking about doctrine. Does doctrine actually destroy devotion when it comes to our love for the Lord and the love for others? Does deep, sound, biblical doctrine actually destroy devotion? Unfortunately, there are many in the church today who have bought into this lie, because it is a lie. It goes completely against God's will as revealed in God's word. Yet so many churchgoers, particularly in the charismatic word of faith movement, where they're all about the feelings, the emotions, the signs, the wonders, the miracles, they're the ones who very aggressively declare that doctrine destroys devotion. And so let's see where they come up with this idea, and let's see what the scriptures have to say about love of God's word and love of God. Many times, if you want to open your Bibles, you can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. I have heard this time and time again, where in verse 1, those who say doctrine destroys devotion, they will use the words of the Apostle Paul at the end of verse 1 to make their claim. They say, well, look what Paul says. Knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Now, it's true this is written in the Bible. Yes, it's true that this comes from the Apostle Paul in the power of the Spirit. But is it true that Paul was saying this to tell people in the Corinthian church to kind of lighten up on their doctrine because it was making them arrogant and it was destroying their devotion, their love towards God and love towards others? No, that's not why Paul said this. Got to understand the context. There were mature believers in that church in Corinth who did have knowledge of God's truth. As a result, they had strong consciences. Their consciences had been shaped, sharpened by God's word, by sound doctrine. That's a good thing. And as a result, these mature believers in that church were not concerned, and this is the context here, about meat that had been sacrificed sometime earlier to pagan gods or goddesses. Back in the Greek culture, even in the Roman culture, they believed that demons attached themselves to food. And then when a person ate that food, the demons then had access to come in and possess that person. This was the thinking back then. Well, how is it then that meat could be cleaned out or cleaned and the demons, how could they leave? Well, the idea back then was you take, let's say, the piece of meat and you take it up to the pagan temple. You give it to the pagan priest. He puts it on that pagan altar. And then he sacrifices that meat to the pagan god or goddess. The idea would be that the pagan god or goddess would then be satisfied and then would clean the demon out of the remaining meat that was not burned on the altar. That was a big time practice back then. Food sacrificed to idols. Now, not all the meat was actually burned. The part that was not burned, part of it would be given to the person who made the sacrifice to take home and eat, because the idea was there's no longer demons in that meat. The other part would be given to the priest as payment. Well, you can imagine how much meat the priest would accumulate, let's just say in a day or even a week, after doing all those sacrifices. I mean, the priest had more meat than he could ever eat. So what would the priest do? He would usually go down to the marketplace and sell the meat, maybe even at a discount, there in the meat market. The store would buy the meat, and eventually that meat would be sold in the marketplace. What's the big deal? Well, for the mature believers in that church back then, listen, there was no big deal. Meat is meat. These mature believers who had knowledge, who understood sound doctrine, for them, when they all celebrated after the church service together as a body of Christ, when they all celebrated, all of a sudden somebody brought meat and put it in the middle of the table. The mature believers didn't freak out and go, oh, was this meat earlier sacrificed? Where'd it come from? Which store was it bought in and all that, right? Again, these mature believers, their consciences had been sharpened, shaped by God's truth. So for them, that meat was obviously, God is the source of our food. So they would see the meat, they would give thanks to God, and they would eat the meat. But there were young believers in that church. Young believers who didn't really have deep knowledge of God's truth. They had shallow knowledge. They were baby believers. And as a result, they had weak consciences. And for them, whenever that meat was served after the church service, for many of these young believers, they'd be like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Where'd that meat come from? Which store did you buy that meat in? Did the owner of that store buy this meat from that pagan priest up at the, was this meat sacrificed to idols? No way we're going to eat that. No way we're going to eat that. Because these young believers had weak consciences. They weren't yet really schooled in sound doctrine. And because they had just recently come out of those pagan practices, their consciences were very sensitive. Well, the mature believers should have shown love to these young believers. And they should have taken the time to gently instruct them in sound doctrine. They should have taken the time to mentor them and disciple them. And these mature believers should have been patient with these young believers who had weak consciences. How patient? Well, these mature believers, as everybody was sitting around, getting ready to have lunch after church service, all of a sudden meat is served. And these mature believers saw the faces of these young believers. These mature believers should have simply said, let's remove this meat, go put it back in the kitchen, bring out some vegetables or some chips or some pretzels or whatever, you know, so that we don't wound the consciences of these young believers. This is what the mature believer should have done. Unfortunately, this is not what they had done. They were arrogant. You know what, young believers? This is not our problem. We know there are not demons. There's no such thing as an idol, though we know. Get over it. Well, that was arrogance. Wouldn't you agree? In fact, they were kind of guilting these young believers as these mature believers just grabbed the meat and just started eating. And these young believers are getting confused. Their consciences are killing them. And some of them went, well, if the mature believers are doing it, then okay, we might as well do it, even though these young believers were going against their own consciences. They needed someone to mentor them, to disciple them. Instead, these mature believers didn't show love towards the young believers, didn't show patience and understanding to the young believers. And that's why Paul ripped the mature believers in this chapter. He starts out in verse 1, now that you know the context, addressing this big issue in that church, meat sacrificed to idols. He says, now concerning the things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Stop. Most commentators agree that when Paul said, we know that we all have knowledge, Paul was actually repeating the very words that these puffed up, prideful, mature believers had written in their letter to Paul about this. In other words, it seems like these mature believers wrote to Paul and said, Paul, this issue with food sacrifice to idols that's now starting to divide our church because these young believers are acting like babies. Paul, that's not our problem. We all have knowledge as mature believers, and we know that there's nothing wrong with eating that meat, regardless of what store it was bought at. Paul, we know we all have knowledge. A little arrogant, right? So Paul, it seems, repeats their very words and then says to them in the same verse at the end, when it comes to that type of knowledge, that makes you arrogant. It puffs you up. But love, which you should be showing to these young believers, edifies. Do you see the context? Paul was not saying doctrine destroys devotion. Paul was not saying don't study the scriptures deeply to try to have sound doctrine and deep knowledge. He's not saying that. What Paul was saying was to the mature believers, listen, your knowledge of God through his truth should result in more love towards God and his people, including these young believers. But here you guys are writing to me, well, we all have knowledge, Paul. That's their problem. Paul says, whoa, that type of knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. And then in verse 2, he says, if anyone talking to these mature believers supposes that he knows anything or knows everything, like it seems like these mature believers were claiming about themselves, if anyone supposes that he knows anything, Paul says, you know what? Then you have not yet known as you ought to know. Wouldn't you agree with that? Again, Paul wasn't ripping them because of their desire to study sound doctrine. Paul was ripping them because of their puffed up attitudes towards these young believers. And that's why Paul says in verse 3, if anyone loves God, here's some knowledge. You were foreknown by him. In other words, you're not saved because of your great knowledge. And if you want to really glorify someone's knowledge, how about glorifying God? Because in his foreknowledge, he foreloved you and elected you unto salvation. Do you see it? And again, Paul agrees with these mature believers. Verse 4, he says, now concerning the thing sacrificed to idols, we know there's no such thing as an idol. So Paul was in agreement with them on that. Paul had deep knowledge of truth. These mature believers had deep knowledge of truth. Paul says, I agree with your knowledge. But Paul did not agree with their arrogance. Right? in that particular situation towards a particular group in that church, the young believers who were struggling when it came to meat sacrifice to idols. That's the context. Yet today, you hear these churches saying, you know, doctrine destroys devotion. No, it doesn't. Knowledge destroys. Well, let's see what God has to say about that. Let's look in the Old Testament. Go to Isaiah chapter 5. Let me just show you a couple quick places here. Isaiah chapter 5. Look at verse 13. Look what God said. My people go into exile. Why? For their lack of knowledge. Do you see it? My people go into exile for their lack of knowledge. What does God think about knowledge of His truth? Knowledge of Him is revealed in His truth. Should we have it? Should we have deep knowledge or just shallow knowledge? Deep knowledge. Hop over to Hosea chapter 4. Hosea chapter 4. Look what God says here. Verse 6. My people are destroyed. Why? For lack of knowledge. Because God said to His people, you've rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being my priest. Since you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Do you see it? What does God think about deep knowledge of Him as revealed in His truth? What does God think about sound doctrine? That we should ignore it? That it destroys devotion? No. Hop over to Ephesians chapter 4. Christ, in verse 12, verse 11, I should say, gave to His church, actually verse 11, end of verse 11, some to be pastor teachers. I have been given by Christ, the Lord of the church, to this particular local assembly, the church, to be the shepherd, the pastor. Why have I been given to the church? Verse 12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, showing love to God and showing love to others, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Why have I been given by Christ to His church? To train you and to teach you sound doctrine. Deep knowledge, which should lead to more love towards God, higher worship and praise of God, and more love towards God's people, serving them in the church and even serving people in the community and sharing with them the love of Christ and the Word of Christ. You cannot love God if you don't have knowledge about God. You cannot understand salvation and that Jesus is the only Savior unless you have knowledge revealed by God in the Scriptures. You cannot worship God the way He desires, the way He deserves. You cannot serve God the way He desires, the way He deserves, without having knowledge. You can't love even others without knowledge from God and His Word. Again, if I'm doing my job as a pastor, giving you deep, sound doctrine, on a regular basis, week in and week out, throughout the week, on the weekends. What's the result? Verse 14. We are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. So one of the things is, by giving you deep doctrine, that protects you from doctrine of demons. But deep doctrine, empowered obviously by God the Holy Spirit, also, verse 15, allows us together to speak the truth in love, where we grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Sound doctrine doesn't destroy devotion. Our sin nature destroys devotion. Again, the problem in that Corinthian church where Paul said, knowledge makes arrogant, but love edifies. Paul was not criticizing the mature believers because of their deep knowledge of God's truth. Rather, Paul was criticizing them that they were ignoring what God says throughout scriptures about love, especially towards weaker brothers or sisters. They were ignoring that, and they were being arrogant towards those young believers. And they were stumbling them. And because these mature believers are saying, Paul, we all have knowledge. We have knowledge, Paul. Well, yeah, you have knowledge. Paul says, I agree with you. There's no such thing as an idol. But Paul says, I don't agree with your attitude. Their attitude was not a result of sound doctrine. Their attitude was a result of their sin nature. Right? So we don't throw out sound doctrine and just say, well, we just need to love, love, love. Well, how do you know how to love God without having deep knowledge of the Word of God? How do you know how to love others unless you're instructed by the Word of God? Right? We can't love God the way He wants us to love Him and love others the way He wants us to without having knowledge. What did God say in the Old Testament? My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Let me tell you something. The more you're in God's holy word, two things happen. Think of the seesaw. The more you're in God's holy word, the more you are understanding by the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you're understanding about the holiness of God. And so God is exalted more and more in your life and through your life because of your deep knowledge of the Word of God, right? Guess what else happens? Think of the seesaw. God's exalted, where you go? Like Isaiah in chapter 6, woe is me. You understand more and more because of deep knowledge in God's truth. You understand more and more who God is and how God is and who you are and how you are. Like Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips, meaning I have an unclean heart. Yes, God's word should crush you. God's word should humble you. God's word should ruin you, as Isaiah said. I am ruined. Disintegrated. I've come apart. Well, of course. But then that's when God's mercy comes, as you recognize your wretchedness, even as a mature believer. And you repent of your sins, and mercy comes, and God forgives you. And what do? You exalt Him even higher, and you serve His people in love even more. That's what sound doctrine, empowered by the Holy Spirit, will lead you to. It doesn't destroy devotion. It should lead to greater devotion, right? Because go to 1 John chapter 4 verse 19. Deep knowledge of God's truth, you understand the doctrine of election. And you understand that we love, verse 19, because He loved us first. How does that make you feel? Arrogant, puffed up, better than somebody else, even like younger believers? Are you kidding me? This truth should humble us. We love because He first loved us. He foreknew us. He foreloved us. He elected, predestined us unto salvation. Christ redeemed us at the cross 2,000 years ago. God the Holy Spirit, when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, regenerated us, made us alive, gave us the gift of faith to be able to repent of our sins and place our faith and trust in Christ alone. And the Holy Spirit indwells us and He illumines truth to us as we read the scriptures. Can I ask you a question? Is there any room there for us to boast and brag? No. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We love Him because He first loved us. Not because we were so lovable, but in spite of us. It was His sovereign choice. Therefore, John says here, if someone says, I love God, verse 20, and hates his brother, hello, Houston. There's a big problem there. John says, this guy's a liar. I agree. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from Him. Notice you have to know the commandment. Have knowledge of truth. That the one who loves God should love his brother also. End of story, right? Deep knowledge of God's truth leads to higher exaltation of our holy God. And it leads to greater love, patience, care, and compassion towards the people of God. Doctrine destroys devotion. Sound doctrine leads to greater devotion. Amen.